artist still known as Bradfo, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball's not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. on WEEI.
McFarlane, Joe Braverman.
It's early McFarlane than normal, but I'll scream it to the heavens.
McFarlane, Gordo.
McFarlane.
All right. When we love to be in this existence, the baseball is a boring existence, the great game of baseball, we yell McFarlane. And I'm Rob Bradford. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. We're going to be with you till noon or about noon, pregame with Joe Weil. And it is a great time to be alive because it's a great time to talk about baseball. It always is a great time to talk about baseball. But I feel I've done this, like Gordo was telling you, I've done this shift many times. And Ken and Curtis usually do an excellent job from 9 to 12 talking about all things of all things. What's what? Well, it is not only are they getting well-deserved rest, but also this is a sweet spot. This is like we were presented a gift from the gods. Say, yes, if there is one time in this calendar year where you must talk about the great game of baseball and have the Baseball Isn't Boring show with me, Bradfo, with Gordo, with Joe, and with all the cavalcade of stars who will be joining us, whether it's the callers or whether it's Brian Abraham, farm director, whoever surprise guest, who knows? Maybe Tristan Casas will finally make his way over and start pushing some buttons. I don't know. All I know is this. It is turn the electricity on, fellas, and let's just talk some baseball. Let's go.
There has never been a better time for a morning shift of the Baseball Isn't Boring show. There's never been a better time. I woke up.
Morning shift, afternoon shift, night shift. I mean, I was really ready to, and I feel probably you feel the same way, off of that game. And listen, I mean, it's one game, and we're talking about the Red Sox being the Yankees, and we're going to go through, pick through that. Obviously, I don't think even arguably the best win of the year. It was the best win of the year, all things considered. You would agree with that? You would concur?
All right. I want to throw another game at you, Rob, because it's
the Marlins game?
No. I'm going to throw you the Blue Jays game at Fenway Park. The Baseball Isn't Boring
Showcase. Oh, the
Baseball
Isn't Boring Showcase.
So, okay.
Yeah, it's a good one.
We have to discuss which one of those two is the game of the year, because I think that game, the Blue Jays game at the time, surpassed the Yankee game where Zach Kelly came in with the bases loaded and the tie.
I would make this argument, and I want to set the scene here, okay? 617-779-7937. See everyone calling already. The phone line's going to get jacked up because everyone wants to talk about what happened in the Bronx last night. I am, again, Rob Bradford. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. At BB Isn't Boring. We do a podcast every single day. Go check that out. Play Tessie Gordo of Play Tessie, the official WEI Red Sox radio podcast. And Joe Braveman's part of that as well. We're going to have Brian Abraham. We're going to ask him flat out at 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, we will get definitive word. Will Marcelo Meyer, Kyle Teal, and or Roman Anthony be called up today? And it's like, it's an easy one. It's a layup, right? We can post it. You do a great job on your socials, right?
Just tell us if there's breaking news.
Breaking, Marcelo Meyer is not getting called up today. And people, you'll get like 500 likes. That's how it works. I saw it the other day. So anyway, we have this scene set up, but to answer your question, I guess we'll start there because there are a lot of things to pick through. There's the game to pick through. There's how they had the results they did in the game. There's the Alex Cora conversation, which we had last week. There's obviously the trade deadline, and we'll have some fake trades along the way. But if you want to start there, Gordo, with how does this rank in terms of the most, the what do we, how do you phrase it? The most important game?
Just the game of the year.
The game of the year? Okay. So I guess it's a couple of ways to look at it. It's much like when I talk about the biggest hit for the Red Sox in history. I say David Ortiz's grand slam is the most impactful hit. Right, you can make the argument there's other hits, but the most impactful hits, and there's reasons for that. Maybe this is the most impactful game. The Blue Jays game, I will say this, probably the more exciting game. And for all, because the baseball is a boring shirt on Derek White, because it was home, because the Celtics were there, because of the comeback, all that. Probably the most exciting game. But the most impactful game, I think, even if they lose today, I think this has to be it because of who you're playing against, what it meant.
Where they're at.
Where they're at, how they're defining themselves once again. I mean, all of it, how they did this. I mean, with when you have Masayu Shida, think about this, Gordo. And we're going to go, we're going to pick through this game all the live long day. But think about this. With you have that situation yesterday where you have your ace. You start out that game. You have your ace. All right, here we go. Tanner Houck, Yankees. We're going to throw your ace. We're going to get off to a, we're going to win the first game of the series. We're going to have a rare Friday win. But sad trombone, rain delay. Tanner Houck comes out of the rain delay. Not good. And then you have Emmanuel Valdez doing his Emmanuel Valdez imitation at second base. And everything's sort of trending. And you're like, ah, well, it's just another Friday loss.
Down 3-0.
You know, they've lost. It would have been 5 losses in a row on Friday. I looked it up because I was ready to push the button when Masayu Shida was up. So you have all –
I had a whole tweet right now.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, we all did, right? So you have all of that. But then, out of nowhere, it really is like you have – these guys, when I talk about the impact of this win, because it is a microcosm of what we're talking about the guys who stepped up last night are guys who aren't necessarily the guys you think. This isn't Rafael Devers turning around into Aroldis Chapman, 104-mile-an-hour fastball.
Felt like it.
This is, yes.
It was such a similar circumstance.
But because it was a good moment in Yankee Stadium.
Right.
But it is Bailey Horn. It is Cam Boozer. Going 4 2/3 scoreless innings after Houck was bad. It is Masayu Shida, Mr. 4-3, in our occasional single. And yeah, here we go. Masa's getting to go, well, okay, something more than a single. Hitting a home run. Never hit a home run. Never had a terrible average on full counts. Hadn't hit a home run. Had hit one home run on a two-strike count since going back to last April, 2023. You know, this certainly isn't a guy that you think is going to step up and do what he did. Before that, you have Alex Cora pushing the right button again by pinch hitting for Romy Gonzalez, the only guy who would supply a run, and putting up Dominic Smith, which, again, another guy that you normally wouldn't say, oh, well, that's the guy that's going to make a big moment in the 2024 season. And then you have Sadan Rafaela, the guy that everyone said, oh, the first 2 months of the season, he's overmatched, fine, he's good defensively, he can hit ninth. And then you flash forward to now, and as I just wrote, going back in the last 20 games, 15-5, this goes back to that first win in the Philly series, he's hitting, I think, .364 with almost 1,000 OPS, Sadan Rafaela. That's 20 games. And that was a signature moment right there for how good this guy has become.
And it looked signature, too.
Right. But so my point is that all of this, the impact of all of it, sort of define what we're talking about with this team, which is these guys have grown up. We're watching them grown up. And hey, congratulations, you're all grown up because you just did this at Yankee Stadium. So, yes, I will say this is the most impactful win of the season, even if they lose today.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you there, Rob, because I think the only argument for the Blue Jays game would be the vibe because it was at Fenway.
Yeah.
It was the best atmosphere in the regular season since 2021. That's something that obviously you can't get on the road, but by God, is it quieting down a bunch of Yankee fans who think they're one strike away from winning has to be right up there with
that. And listen, Yankee Stadium is not an easy place to play. Yankee Stadium for younger players, it is not an easy place to play. I mean, I remember 2018, that final game of the ALDS, where you had Craig Kimbrell, it was like a fire hose coming out of his arm. He was sweating so much. And guys after who pitched in that game, Matt Barnes, admitted, like, this is a nerve-wracking thing. The crowd feels like it's right on top of you. The Yankees, there they are. They're up 3-1. Here we go. You know, yeah, we stunk for the last, whatever, 20 games. But now we go. Now we go. Thank you, Nestor Cortez. Thank you, Luke Weaver. And here comes Clay Holmes to close things out. All is well. Red Sox, you had your time to shine. You're taking the turn for the worse. And then, boom, all these guys that we're talking about, they step up. And this is just how this has been. And what's incredible about it is that, like I said, they have grown up. These guys are growing up. People, I remember Bogarts came in. Maybe I'm telling the tale out of school here. But I was talking to Bogarts on the field. He's like, oh, yeah, these guys are better than a lot of people thought, right? It's like, how? And so you have to step back and say, well, why? You know, why is this? And I think it's because.
Why is what? Why are they better?
People? You know, because, listen, I mean, Bogarts and the rest of the baseball world were like, what are the Red Sox doing in the offseason?
Right.
Right. What are they doing? I mean, Kenley Jansen was that way from day one at spring training. A lot of guys were. Yeah, we all were. Yeah. Like, Jordan Montgomery, you know, poor one out for him. Jordan Montgomery, where is he? So when Bogarts asked that or kind of brings that topic up, I say, well, I think it's just because these young guys have gotten better. Like, and you don't really see that a whole lot where you have just a group that continuously gets better and matures in front of your eyes. Like, you hope that's the case, but you don't necessarily always see that. Certainly you don't see that when
simultaneously,
like, think about this. And this is where we can get into Alex Cora and his contract stuff and his future and everything else. But the comment that Sam Kennedy had, and I don't want to pile on Sam for that, whatever, it was what it was, but it was so ridiculous because of exactly that. They were at that time, they were so far from underachieving, and now what they're doing is that they're taking a bunch of underachievers in the first half, and now you're getting better and you're better and you're better. And you look at this group, and I don't know if you call it overachieving, but I call it just maturing. Like, across the board, getting the absolute most out of the players that you have. And for me, that is what defines a good manager. And I also say a good coaching staff. I've talked a lot. Gordo, go ahead.
Well, I love the conversation about where people thought this team was going to be, where the baseball world thought they were going to be, and looking at them as individuals and where they are right now. Like, obviously, you could talk a lot about the growth of, like, a Sidon Rafael, a top prospect, and we didn't really know where the bat was going to be, and now it looks like it's in a pretty good place. To be honest with you, it's in a better place right now than I thought we would see this year. I didn't know where it was going to go.
But here's the thing with Rafaela. So let's go back to late April, okay? Let's play this game.
What was his OPS in April?
It wasn't great. It wasn't great. His OPS still isn't over 700 now.
Right. What is it, like at 660?
Yeah. But that's why I know it wasn't great, because he's been really, he's had almost 1,000 OPS in the last 20 games. But so the narrative, let's go back to late April, what the narrative was Sidon Rafaela, listen, he's just going to be overmatched this year, but you need him to play defense.
And you have to let him hit through it. Because he was killing AAA, so there was really nothing more he could do down there.
David Hamilton, why is he even in the major leagues? Poor guy, nice guy,
but why is it even
the major leagues? Jaron Duran, you know, even then, like, he had up and then he had a little bit of the down. We're going to see the up and down Jaron Duran again. Willie Abreu, oh, that's a nice story. That's great. It's fine. But, you know, is this a guy that you're going to be able – Alex Cora wasn't let him play against lefties. And, by the way, he still shouldn't probably let him play against lefties.
Probably not.
Because of Rob Refsnyder. Rob Refsnyder, nice role player. But even then, like, he was hurt. He took him forever to get going. Connor Wong, you know, we've seen the good Connor Wong. But it's going to be this platoon thing with Reese McGuire. You know, and then you obviously have Tristan Casas hurt. You bring in, and this is where I'll come back to Breslow and what we can expect at the trade deadline. And I saw Rob Refsnyder's quotes, so maybe it was a Cotillo story, where he says, hey, listen, Breslow already did something, and I'm paraphrasing, Breslow already did something in being semi-aggressive. When Casas went down, he went out and got two guys.
Dom Smith, Garrett Cooper.
Right. I mean, and yeah, you'll say, well, of course you needed some, but you didn't have to.
That's not what they would have done last year.
No, you could have rolled. You could have rolled out Bobby Dalbec, and so
that's what they would have done.
So I feel like, because of that, I've always, knowing Craig Breslow as long as I've known him, I don't know what the purse string situation is going to be, but I do know that Craig Breslow is very competitive, and I don't think that. You know, that we hear him and you agonizing over every second sentence and, you know, talking in ways that people, you know, say, I kind of understand what you're saying, but I don't understand what you're saying. All I know is this. It comes back to the former player thing. I do believe he is competitive. I do believe that within the parameters right now as we sit here, he is absolutely looking to do exactly what he did when Tristan Casas got hurt.
You know, I think it's kind of up to us to run our own race.
Exactly. Thank you. So, but is I think that is what I'm hanging my hat on. So there's a lot, Gordo. I'm all over the place, but there's a lot to pick through. There's the game last night. There's Cora's contract. There's Breslow at the trade deadline. There's you eating wasabi. There's you doing fake trades. There's Brian Abraham telling us if Marcelo Meyer is going to get called up today. All of that. We have all these calls. I appreciate everybody calling in. 617-779-7937. It is a great time to start picking through this team. Because, Gordo, before we go to the break, before we go to Joe Braverman's trending, we can now proclaim what I proclaimed, I believe, like 3 weeks ago. Let's go.
What are we proclaiming?
There's only one. You were going back and forth. You were doing your fake trades.
Are you talking about like? Cause
yeah,
it's,
let's go.
Because it's Saturday.
You know why?
Fork in the road Saturday.
No. It's not fork. We're no longer fork in the road. You've chosen the road. You've gone down.
They've
the road.
They've chosen the road.
We've gone through fork in the road Saturday.
When did fork in the road Saturday end?
I proclaimed it ending like 3 weeks ago, but no one.
Yeah,
believed
you proclaimed
me.
3 weeks ago. It's time to go all in.
I was certainly not
right,
with you.
Thank you, Joe. I
got to give you your props on a couple. I give you your props on saying that David Hamilton is a good hitter so often because I think you were the only one that I knew that had that. I just did not see it with him. Like it was like in the Angels series in April, and you're like, I believe in the bat. I was like, he's serious, and you were right. And you know what? Fork in the road Saturday 3 weeks ago, proclaiming that this team. You were right.
You're Tom Hanks in Castaway at the end, where you've chosen the road. You're already trucking down the road. You like the dust is kicking up in the back of your pickup. You're going down this road. Is
they've forced it?
We know as and I do want to play this like the get greedy thing. That is the line.
I love.
I want to pick through that when we come back. We see all the calls. I said, and I actually texted again. Tales out of school. I don't care. I texted Cora. I said, you have to address the team this way. You have to give them the Gordon Gekko speech.
I was about to say, it's the Gordon Gekko
You speech. Have to give the Gordon Gekko speech. What, do you want to play that now? We get that? Because the greed is good. I think that's
greed is good.
That's a great way to go into trending.
Bang it on the table.
Greed is good. When we talk about signature moments, it is Alex Cora talking about that the greed is good. I mean, no, he didn't say greed is good, but he's like, let's get greedy. And sure enough,
let's chase down the Yanks.
And that is the thing that you look at sending the right message, doing the right thing, getting the right mindset for this group of players. That was the right mindset. Do we have that?
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
Let's go.
Greedy pig, piggy greed. Let's go.
Let's go.
Come on.
All right, this trend with Joe.
We'll see what happens in a month and a half. We just got to keep playing better baseball. And I know we've been talking about the wild card and all that stuff. You know, let's get greedy. You know, there's a team ahead of us that they're not playing good baseball. You know, and I know probably one of them is only for 5 days. You know, but there's more out there. And I think this brand of baseball, you know, we can maintain the way we're playing. And, you know, let's not set up for the third wild card. You know, let's go higher and see where the season takes us.
Well, there you go. Alex Cora, let's get greedy.
Greed.
Let's get greedy. I will ask you to play Gordon Gekko's speech again one other time in the show. Not right now. But I think, as I heard that, if that doesn't get you fired up, that should be on a loop. That is basically what they should play before every game, the Gordon Gekko speech. Greed is good. And I do think that, and by the way, this is the Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford, Gordo alongside of Play Tessie. We are on until noon when Joe Weil takes over the pregame show. But I do think that when you talk about sending the right message, getting the most out of guys, pushing the right buttons, like this is undeniably, to me, the best managing job Alex Cora has ever done this year, I think.
No, I agree with you. He has the least to work with, and he's gotten the most out of it. And it's in such like a tangible way. You can see it in the games. Like, he's managing the games perfectly. He's managing the personalities perfectly. He's getting the most out of everyone there. It's been great.
All right. Speaking of great, let's go to the phone line. Jeff in Watertown, HOF. Jeff. How you doing, Jeff? What's going on?
Bradshaw, let's get greedy.
Let's get greedy, Jeff. It's one thing to say, and I'm going to tell you something, Jeff. All right, and again, third time I told tale out of school. That before he said that, I was walking up. So Cora's been doing this thing where he sits in the stands. Gordo's seen him, right?
Yeah.
He sits in the stands really early this year. Like, he just sits there and he's sort of just I don't know what he's doing. But I walk it up, and he's like, you know, why aren't we getting greedy? And he pointed out to the wall. And that was the first time I had heard it. And then I saw him recycling it in the press conferences. So I knew that this was something not only was on his mind, but something he was going to message to the players. And sometimes that doesn't work. But for this group of impressionable young men, absolutely. Sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
No, I agree. And, you know, I talked a couple of weeks ago about the fact that baseball is really a relay race, you know, goes in segments. And last night is a perfect example of that. I mean, we've got really nothing out of Yoshida all year. When he was playing, the team was sort of carrying him. And then you get to this stage, and all of a sudden, you know, who gets the big home run? But it's Yoshida. Like, I mean, when John Henry made that statement about the odds, what were the odds that the Yankees were going to win the division at that point? They were probably astronomical. Here it is 20 games later, and, you know, they're in the wild card race. I mean, it's a long season, and everybody has to kind of hand the baton over, and, you know, and it's time, you know, at the end of July, it's the time for the front office to do that. And I'm with you. I believe they will. I believe that, you know, I'm not saying they're going to add some superstar. But the more and more I think about it, the more I think Turner's going to end up here. But if they don't trade guys away and they pick, you know, off the major league roster and they pick up some pieces to help, that to me is an endorsement of the team. They want to go forward with this team. And I think that's what's going to happen.
Well, yeah.
I feel more positive today than I have all year.
Well, I said that last year, though. I said if you don't trade like James Paxton and Adam Duvall, that in itself is an endorsement in the team. And that wasn't really the way it turned out.
Yeah, but so it goes back to what is the impact of a trade deadline and how can that, what is the mindset? What does that mean? And I kept recycling this quote from Matt Strom had that he told me in the offseason after 2022, talking about that deadline. And he said, it felt like we were playing for field position. We kicked it inside the five, and then Tom Brady came in the game.
The opposite of getting greedy.
The opposite of getting greedy. And so as I said in the story, I said, listen, it's time to go for it on fourth down. And I think what that means is doing what you did in 2021 to an extent to 2018, where you don't have to get these huge guys. You don't have to do that. And you don't have to give up a ton, Jeff, either. All you have to do is supplement the roster because as good as it is now, you know the last couple months are different. Whether it's a veteran voice, whether it's a better fielding second baseman, whether it's a right-handed hitting DH.
An arm to save your guys.
Or whether it's a starting pitcher to help you get to the finish line. All of that is undeniably things that would help this team get to the finish line, get to where you want to go.
But, you know, Gordo just said, like, they did that last year and it didn't work out well. Well, I mean, you don't know how things are going to change. I mean, but the point is that you honor the process, you hand the baton, everybody does what they're supposed to do, and you try to go forward. And what drives me crazy is I saw in the last week or so, I saw a couple of articles in the paper. I think one was from Gasper. I forget who the other one was. You know, talking about how, you know, this team is the same as they were the last couple of years, basically the same record. It fell apart the second half. It's really not as, you know, don't get – and that's so wrong. I mean, every year is a different year. This team is not the same team that played last year. Jarrett Duran is not the same player. Rafael, you know, we didn't have Cedar Rafael, who's improved steadily. I mean, yeah, we still have a second baseman that's shaky, and we still strike out too much. But, you know, it's an entirely different team. And you can't, you know, that those numbers, I mean, you know, if you just keep saying, like, you know, a five games over 500 record this year is not the same as five games over 500 last year or whatever. It's a different season, and this is just an incredibly exciting team. And we have a superstar in the making. That, you know, last year we didn't say that about Duran. Duran looked good. He got hurt. We liked him, but this guy's a legit star now. And we didn't have that. So, I mean, there's just so many more things about the season that separated this whole probability and on paper and all that's just crap. You play the games. I mean, that's the whole point.
Well, and
again,
Jeff,
I go back to what John Henry said 20 games ago is not the same as today. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, and Jeff, last thing is you're so right about a lot of what you're saying. It does feel different. We went to back in 2022 on July 5th that year. Their odds were 78%. 78%. I think they're about 47% now, and I agree. Odds, I'm sick of the odds. I'm sick of what John Henry's version of the odds. I'm sick of the Fangraphs. I'm sick of all of it because it changes. It can change within three games. It can change in terms of how you trade for guys. But my point is, in 2022, you were 78%. You were nine games up over 500, and then you went 5-17. But the difference to me is, all the things that you said, Jeff, the vibes are different, starting pitching different is different, and also their wheels fell off because of injuries. They've already had the injuries.
Yeah, that's one of the big differences to me is you've already had the injuries. Guys are coming back on the offensive side of the ball, and this team, like as Jeff said, because he said they didn't have Cedar Rafael last year. Jarren Duran wasn't this player last year. I'll go and say they didn't have David Hamilton last year. He played a few games, but he certainly wasn't this. You've gotten athleticism to this team.
We didn't have that identity.
Yeah, there was no identity.
That's a good way to put it. There was no identity.
Jeff, we got to get going, but thanks for the call, man. Yep. I really appreciate it. All right, Jeff and Wanata. Let's go to John in the car. John, thanks for hanging on. What's going on, John?
Last night was as spicy as a spoonful of wasabi.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The vibes. Hey, you know what's one thing that's like always kind of bugged me? Like, I always thought the Yankees were kind of stupid for not going after Masataka Yoshida, because like with that wiffle ball stadium that they have in right field, like his swing seems patented to like just absolutely take advantage of that that rinky dink right field that they have there in New York. So I'm pretty excited about their prospects today and going into the All-Star break. I think Alex might have been. I agree. I think he's probably coaching the best he's been the past couple of years, which is I've been one of those guys, those meh guys, and he's finally seems like he's actually actively managing throughout the game and off the games as well. But I think one of the things that I got to keep a little bit of hindsight is, or not hindsight, is looking ahead coming out of the All-Star break, the schedule. You know, as much as I agree with Jeff, the team is playing better. It's a different team. The schedule is tough coming out of the All-Star break, and they definitely need some help, especially listening to you guys talk about Chris Martin and hearing the fact that he's potentially hurt. Like, they need some bullpen arms. Like, that's the standard thing they need all the time. So,
well, and thanks for the call, John. I appreciate it. So, out of the All-Star break, in case people were wondering, they go immediately to the West Coast. They go to the Dodgers for three. They go to the Colorado Rockies for three. They have the Yankees at home for three. And then you have the Mariners, obviously a good team this year. They're at home leading into August. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't get any easier. But here's the thing, Gordo, is that this team, we kept harping on up until that Philly series, up until that Yankee series, they can't beat teams over 500. And it was true. Like they had a hard time with teams over 500, good teams. But I think that Philly series, that Yankee series, did something where not only did they beat those teams in those series, but for these younger guys, it seems like a cliche, but it's not. I've been around baseball long enough to know the mindset of different ages of players. And for this group, it's, yes, I do believe that they need another veteran voice maybe for the last couple of months. But for this group right now, they need, once they get evidence of something, they believe in it, right? That's why Alex Cora likes coaching or likes managing this team, because it's all seeping in. because it's a young group. There's only Rob Refsnyder of the position players who's over 30 or over. So, yeah.
Well, this is kind of what I was saying in the offseason when I wanted the team to retain Justin Turner, is you need that veteran voice, but it's also just you need these young guys to have evidence that they can make the playoffs. They can win baseball games. They can beat teams like the Phillies and the Yankees. This is the foundation of careers right here. Like, this is like a huge inflection point for these players' careers. And going the distance, and by the distance, I don't mean winning the World Series. I mean going the distance to make the playoffs goes a long way. Like it feels like guys like, I guess Jaren Duran technically was on the team in 2021, but not really. Like, guys like Tristan Casas, Jaren Duran, like guys who you want to be here for years to come, need to have this experience if you want them to take that next step. Because right now, the step is make the playoffs. In a couple of years, the next step will be, let's get this team to the World Series.
It's the ultimate, they don't know any better. A lot of them don't know any better when it comes to, like, Alex Cora has referenced this.
When it comes to playing in Yankee Stadium.
When it comes to playing in Yankee Stadium, when it comes to, like, okay, you know, we have this long road trip, we have this long flight, whatever it is. You know, we had this long game in Miami, now we have to play at Yankee Stadium. Yeah, we don't know any better. In the ultimate we don't know any better moment, I do think of this, is what we had a show the day after the Verdugo game, right? Verdugo, and all we talked about for 3 hours, should you hit Verdugo? Payback for Verdugo. And then I remember talking to guys after, the guys in the team, and they're all hugging Verdugo and everything else. And they were saying, well, maybe it's not the best thing for this particular group to get caught up in that, because they're just playing. Like, they don't know. I mean, they don't, whatever. Verdugo could do his thing. They're just playing. And I do think, and the more I thought about that, I'm like, okay, I can buy that. I can buy that. And there is that element of, like, they don't know any better. And for now, I don't know what it's going to look like in August and September when the rubber meets the road, but for now, it's working. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Steve, thanks for hanging on. What's going on?
I want to see, I hear Craig Breslow's name. I hear Alex Cora's name. I don't hear Hein Bloom's name. Craig, let's put Craig Breslow on the side. He's going to have an imprint on this season going forward. Who has the imprint on it now? Hein Bloom does. You can edit me, and I'll tell you who I think Hein Bloom was responsible for. Connor Wong, Tristan Casas, Justin Duran, Sadiela Rafael, a couple of these pitchers on the pitching staff. He brought in the reliever. He's got three prospects for Verdugo. He's got three of the top 25 prospects in the minors. Is that true?
You hit about 40% of that statement. I don't even know where to start.
Who Tristan
Casas was not a Hein Bloom. And I want to say this, first of all, Hein Bloom deserves credit for this.
Yes.
No question about it. But if you asked me to edit you on what you said, and I will do that. Tristan Casas was not a Hein Bloom guy. Sedan Rafaela was not a Hein Bloom guy.
Duran was
not a Hein Bloom guy. They did not get back three prospects that are useful for Alex Verdugo. I don't even know
that wasn't a Bloom trade. Breslow.
I thought you said for Mookie Betts.
Oh. How did Justin Duran get here?
Well,
how did Jaren Duran get here?
Duran was drafted during the Dave Dombrowski era.
How old is he?
He was out of college, and so I assumed he was about 22 years old.
Okay, all right. Okay, you said. I've called you before and said they're trying to be like Baltimore. Now they've got stars that are getting, they've got players that are developing at warp speed. Okay. Now there's a saying when the Red Sox have a stock saying the last two trade deadlines where they couldn't find what they wanted. What was it about not trading future? Give me this saying, Rob.
They didn't want to blow
future wins.
Right. That was what Breslow said this offseason.
Something.
Yeah.
But that's something that we never heard what they turned down, but maybe the ask was Rafaela. Maybe the ask was one of these guys, and they said, we're not doing it. I heard this Paxton brought up last year. Guess when Guess when Paxton's stock was the highest at the trading deadline? The smart move would have been to trade this guy. Trade him and bring something in because you weren't going anywhere last year. You bring up the Alex Cora. Well, guess what? If they miss by one or two games, the 7 to 10 games after Trevor Story got hurt was a complete train wreck. If Alex Cora was half as good as you said this morning, they would have been 500.
I appreciate your passion, and you just hung up, but I appreciate his passion. Like, he's all over the place. Let's be honest. He's all over the place. And I feel like a lot of people who are being dropped in to this world right now, the Red Sox, who are our regular sports followers, they're swimming upstream a little. Let's be honest. You're getting calls like that where it's like 30% of the stuff is true, I guess, but it's kind of accurate, but he's not. What I know that one of the things Steve like latches on to is the Baltimore thing about, you know, they took the time. It's not the same. First of all, the Orioles drafted insanely well. They gutted that fan base. I mean, to the point where you could never. I know that people feel like they're doing that here, but you could never do that here. Ever.
They're still not filling that stadium.
No, and this go back to the last offseason. When's the last time the Orioles had that much spending in an offseason? Not this past offseason, the offseason before. Kenley Jansen, Justin Turner, Masa Yoshida, Chris Martin. You go down the list. Like, so it's not.
Well, that's the key difference. Is the Red Sox may have had a couple of last place finishes in there. I get it. But they never truly bottomed out the way they, like the yeah. Orioles. Oh my God. Like, we're talking about the last couple deadlines where it's the Red Sox could have gone either way.
No, and you
the
give Orioles, the Orioles no you give credit for because they drafted insanely well. They did. I mean, there's no way around it. And Red Sox have hit on some guys. And when it comes to Alex Cora, and people can call up and tell me I'm full of hooey. I don't care. 617-779-7937. I said this is the best year that Alex Cora has had. And we can talk about his contract. And Steve could talk about whatever seven games he was talking about. But ultimately, that's what I would ask. Is this the best managing job that Alex Cora has done?
It's an interesting comparison. Because, like, obviously you could bring up 2018. They were incredible in 2018. But I feel like the one season that you could compare it to is 2021, where he came in back in after being let go and took that team to the postseason. But then you look at that roster, and there were still parts from 2018 on that roster.
All you need to know, Gordo, and I know we got to go to a break. All you need to know when you talk about this roster overachieving, underachieving, whatever it is that Vegas, who is pretty smart, set the over-under and win total at 78.5 with Trevor Story, with Lucas Giolito, with Tristan Casas. I mean, with these guys, like, that was 78.5. And who knows? Maybe they'll land there. I don't know. Maybe they'll take a turn for the worse. We said in 2022, they were sitting 9 games over 500. They went 5-17 the rest of the month. Who knows? But, like, this is how I know that the perception of this roster was what it was because of that. All right. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford. Gordo, Joe Braben behind the glass, 617-779-7937. It's a great time to talk about the great game of baseball. Be back after this. There it is.
Tessie is the royal.
Play Tessie. At Play Tessie. Tessie is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Gordo, Sammy, Pat, Joe. Cracking it out. All the live long day, all week long. I want to give a shout out to your podcast, Gordo, Play Tessie. Excellent job.
Appreciate that.
I want to give a shout out to all the podcasts.
Just all of them.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, everyone says they want to get along, but they don't. So, but I do feel like everybody should appreciate the passion of the fan base. Like, everyone, obviously Section 10 does an awesome job. Those guys, you guys do an awesome job. 310 to Left, the new one at Nesson with Alex Beard, Tom Caron, they do a great job. Fedway Rundown, Cotillo and Sam Sean McAdam, they do a great job. Name some other ones. I want to give a shout out. I want to bring everyone together here.
The guys at Beyond the Monster do a really good job.
Beyond the Monster,
they do a good job writing on the site, and they do a good job with their podcast. Yep. Great, great stuff from
Chris those. Henrik, Ed Hinn, Andrew Parker, like all those guys, and
a lot of great minor
baseball isn't boring.
Yeah, you know, listen, I mean, we have a show. I don't need to be shouting. We have this is the name of the show. Baseball isn't boring. I mean,
shout out to me.
Really, I mean, come on, like let's go. I mean, who is it going to get? Who had better Jose Iglesias podcast on Friday? Nobody. That's the answer. Nobody. By the way, it was honestly. As a quick diversion from the Red Sox Yankees. So I went to Worcester and talked to some of the Syracuse Mets guys about Jose Iglesias. And I talked to Dickie Scott, who's the manager of Syracuse. I talked to Mike Vasil, who was a Boston guy, top prospect for the Mets, top pitching prospect. And they had some great Jose Iglesias stories. But after the recording stopped, I ended up talking to them about the evolution of Jose Iglesias. And in case people don't know, Jose Iglesias is now with the Mets. He was out of the – I don't even know if he was playing baseball last year.
I mean, he was trying to get his music career off the ground.
He was getting his music career. Now he's with the Mets.
Doing both.
Pop star, OMG, him and Grimace leading the Mets to great, great glory. But I was telling them, I said – in 2013, when Jose Iglesias was traded, he was perceived as sort of a selfish guy, a slick fielding infielder. He was young, very smart, super smart kid. Like, he learned English, a kid from Cuba. He learned English faster than any other kid I've ever seen, which is a credit to him, to the time he put into that. And but then they trade him in the Jake Peavy, the three-way deal, the Jake Peavy deal. Then he goes to the Tigers, has a pretty good career. But then we see him, he reemerges with the Red Sox in 2021 and really helps them get to the postseason. He wasn't eligible for the postseason, but he helps them get to the postseason.
They don't get there without him.
No, I don't think so. And this is sort of what we're talking about with what they need now, right?
Yeah.
Same type of guy almost. But he was a team guy, perfect guy, wanted to be around the team. And the things that you hear from the Mets people was like, this guy, he is just all about everything that's right about team, about understanding how he has to get better, about how he can help actually a contender, all of that. And I'm like, this is the evolution of a player. This is the evolution of baseball. This is a great – and so I love talking – so go to the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast to listen to that. But it is a great lesson – that like how some of these guys evolve. And also now I'm going to spin it to this current Red Sox team about, and because a couple of people were asking, like, why didn't the Red Sox show interest? Didn't they need him? I'm like, last year, 2022, they had that window. And you know who they got? A guy who's actually on the Syracuse Mets right now.
What window? What do you mean?
The window when they need a second baseman.
Okay.
They got Pablo Reyes.
And he gave them a spark.
He gave it fine. Yeah. He had his moments.
He had a couple moments.
Yeah.
Last year.
So now he's with by the way, with the Syracuse Mets.
Good. Oh my God! Wait. So you saw Pablo Reyes?
I did not see him. You know who else is on the team? Yomer Sanchez. I'm like, that guy looks familiar.
Another Red Sox.
Yomer
legend.
Sanchez. But
Glover.
But the point is that they said, well, why didn't you get Jose Iglesias? Jose Iglesias would have been a good fit. And I remember last year they were not high. The Red Sox thought. I had one person say Bobby Dalbec could be playing better second base than Jose Iglesias right now. Because he was coming off a good year in Colorado, right? A good offensive year in Colorado. But anyway, so why didn't you get that guy? What's done is done. Jose Iglesias with the Mets. Now, undeniably, when we talk about trade deadline, that spot, yes, starting pitcher to help you get to the finish line. But especially after what we continue to see from Emmanuel Valdez. God bless his soul. You know? But... You need the Ian Kinsler at very least, right? You need to fix that, right?
Yes, you need not just a guy to settle it down defensively, but you see with the lineups that they throw out there against lefties, they've been trying to figure out: do we play Dom Smith and put Romy Gonzalez at second? Do we play Emmanuel Valdez or David Hamilton at second and play Romy Gonzalez at first? There's just no perfect solution there. Obviously, it gets a little bit easier when Casas gets back, but you need a right-handed bat. And you need a guy who can lock it down defensively and just at least give you some cohesion in the infield.
Yeah, you know what makes me a little sad? That there's no avenue for Dom Smith to stay once Tristan Casas comes back.
I love Dom Smith.
He's
such a great guy.
He's such a good guy. You see him like with a big smile on his face all the time. He gets the big hit last night.
And he's had a few.
Well, again, hits. I mean, we come back to what is Craig Breslow going to do? What is his mindset? And his mindset when that happened was go out and get two guys, not to sit around not to say, hey, we got Bobby Dahl back, we're going to ride it out, but we're going to go out, we're going to be proactive, we're going to give this guy's opportunity. It worked for one, it didn't work for the other. It worked for Dom Smith, it didn't work for Garrett Cooper, but that is
the why you take the shot on two. Because I would have predicted that Garrett Cooper would have been the one to work. That would have been the guy who I thought would be the staple at first, and it just hasn't been that way.
And
Dom was better.
Yeah, so when you talk about guys helping, getting guys to help you to the finish line, Dom Smith is that guy who'd help you get to the finish line. He is. And I don't see the avenue where he stays on the team when Tristan Cassis comes back. So, but, you know, who knows? Maybe he accepts his assignment. He comes back later in the year. If they make the postseason, just having Dom Smith around is a joy.
I agree.
There you
go. Whatever this team does or does not do, Dom Smith deserves to be a part of it.
All right, we got a lot to get to. I do want to dive back into the Alex Cora contract talk because we talked a lot about that last week. We could also obviously talk about the trade deadline, what that means, because as we said, it's no longer fork in the road Saturday, Gordo.
Dang, retired.
You're 75 miles an hour down the dirt road with the dust kicking up in the back of the pickup. That's what it is.
With the let it be said, let it be done bumper sticker.
Let it be said, let it be done. Thank you, Joe Braverman. Excellent job. All right, well, let it be said, let it be done. We got to take a break. Once again, we have Brian Abraham, farm director, telling us definitively at 11 o'clock if Marcelo Meyer is going to get called up today. Right?
Breaking news.
Right? You ask, you have to say something. So there you go.
We could just sit in silence.
We could, I guess. Brian Abraham at 11. We got a lot more coming up. 617-779-7937. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Be back after this. There it is.
Tessie is the royal.
Play Tessie. At Play Tessie. Tessie is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Gordo, Sammy, Pat, Joe. Cracking it out. All the live long day, all week long. I want to give a shout out to your podcast, Gordo, Play Tessie. Excellent job.
Appreciate that.
I want to give a shout out to all the podcasts.
Just all of them.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, everyone says they want to get along, but they don't. So, but I do feel like everybody should appreciate the passion of the fan base. Like everyone, obviously Section 10 does an awesome job. Those guys, you guys do an awesome job. 310 to left, the new one at Nesson with Alex Beard, Tom Karen, they do a great job. Fedway Rundown, Cotillo, and Sam Sean McAdam, they do a great job. Name some other ones. I want to give a shout out. I want to bring everyone together here.
The guys at Beyond the Monster do a really
Beyond
good
the
job.
Monster.
They do a good job writing on the site, and they do a good job with their podcast.
Yep.
Great stuff from them.
Chris Henrik, Ed Hinn, Andrew Parker, like all those guys, and
a lot of great minor
baseball isn't boring.
Yeah, you know, listen, I mean, we have a show. I don't need to be shouting. This is the name of the show, Baseball Isn't Boring. I mean,
shout out to me.
Really, I mean, come on, like let's go. I mean, who is it going to get? Who had better Jose Iglesias podcast on Friday? Nobody. That's the answer. Nobody. By the way, it was honestly, as a quick diversion from the Red Sox Yankees. So I went to Worcester and talked to some of the Syracuse Mets guys about Jose Iglesias. And I talked to Dickie Scott, who's the manager of Syracuse. I talked to Mike Vasil, who was a Boston guy, top prospect for the Mets, top pitching prospect. And they had some great Jose Iglesias stories. But after the recording stopped, I ended up talking to them about the evolution of Jose Iglesias. And in case people don't know, Jose Iglesias is now with the Mets. He was out of the – I don't even know if he was playing baseball last year.
I mean, he was trying to get his music career off the ground.
He was getting his music career. Now he's with the Mets.
Doing both.
Pop star, OMG, him and Grimace leading the Mets to great, great glory. But I was telling them, I said – in 2013, when Jose Iglesias was traded, he was perceived as sort of a selfish guy, a slick fielding infielder. He was young, very smart, super smart kid. Like, he learned English, a kid from Cuba. He learned English faster than any other kid I've ever seen, which is a credit to him, to the time he put into that. And but then they trade him in the Jake Peavy, the three-way deal, the Jake Peavy deal. Then he goes to the Tigers, has a pretty good career. But then we see him, he reemerges with the Red Sox in 2021 and really helps them get to the postseason. He wasn't eligible for the postseason, but he helps them get to the postseason.
They don't get there without him.
No, I don't think so. And this is sort of what we're talking about with what they need now, right? Yeah. Same type of guy almost. But he was a team guy, perfect guy, wanted to be around the team. And the things that you hear from the Mets people was like, this guy, he is just all about everything that's right about team, about understanding how he has to get better, about how he can help actually a contender, all of that. And I'm like, this is the evolution of a player. This is the evolution of baseball. This is a great – and so I love talking – so go to the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast to listen to that. But it is a great lesson – that like how some of these guys evolve. And also now I'm going to spin it to this current Red Sox team about, and because a couple of people were asking, like, why didn't the Red Sox show interest? Didn't they need him? I'm like, last year, 2022, they had that window. And you know who they got? A guy who's actually on the Syracuse Mets right now.
What window? What do you mean?
The window when they need a second baseman.
Okay.
They got Pablo Reyes.
And he gave them a spark.
He gave it fine. Yeah. He had his moments.
He had a couple moments.
Yeah.
Last year.
So now he's with, by the way, with the Syracuse Mets.
Good. Oh my God! Wait. There, so you saw Pablo Reyes?
I did not see him. You know who else is on the team? Yomer Sanchez. I'm like, that guy looks familiar.
Another Red Sox.
Yomer
legend.
Sanchez. But
Glover.
But the point is that they said, well, why didn't you get Jose Iglesias? Jose Iglesias would have been a good fit. And I remember last year they were not high. The Red Sox thought. I had one person say Bobby Dalbec could be playing better second base than Jose Iglesias right now. Because he was coming off a good year in Colorado, right? A good offensive year in Colorado. But anyway, so why didn't you get that guy? What's done is done. Jose Iglesias with the Mets. Now, undeniably, when we talk about trade deadline, that spot, yes, starting pitcher to help you get to the finish line. But especially after what we continue to see from Emmanuel Valdez. God bless his soul. You know? But... You need the Ian Kinsler at very least, right? You need to fix that, right?
Yes, you need not just a guy to settle it down defensively, but you see with the lineups that they throw out there against lefties, they've been trying to figure out: do we play Dom Smith and put Romy Gonzalez at second? Do we play Emmanuel Valdez or David Hamilton at second and play Romy Gonzalez at first? There's just no perfect solution there. Obviously, it gets a little bit easier when Casas gets back, but you need a right-handed bat. And you need a guy who can lock it down defensively and just at least give you some cohesion in the infield.
Yeah, you know what makes me a little sad? That there's no avenue for Dom Smith to stay once Tristan Casas comes back.
I love Dom Smith.
He is
such a great guy.
He's such a good guy. You see him like with a big smile on his face all the time. He gets the big hit last night.
And he's had a few.
Well, again, hits. I mean, we come back to what is Craig Breslow going to do? What is his mindset? And his mindset when that happened was go out and to get two guys, not to sit around. Not to say, hey, we got Bobby Dalbec, we're going to ride it out, but we're going to go out, we're going to be proactive, we're going to give this guy's opportunity. It worked for one, it didn't work for the other. It worked for Dom Smith, it didn't work for Garrett Cooper, but that is
that's why you take the shot on two. Because I would have predicted that Garrett Cooper would have been the one to work. That would have been the guy who I thought would be the staple at first, and it just hasn't been that way.
And
Dom was better.
Yeah, so when you talk about guys helping, getting guys to help you to the finish line, Dom Smith... Is that guy who'd help you get to the finish line? He is. And I don't see the avenue where he stays on the team when Tristan Casas comes back. So, but, you know, who knows? Maybe he accepts his assignment. He comes back later in the year. If they make the postseason, just having Dom Smith around is a joy.
I agree.
There you
go. Whatever this team does or does not do, Dom Smith deserves to be a part of it.
All right. We got a lot to get to. I do want to dive back into the Alex Cora contract talk. Because we talked a lot about that last week. We could also obviously talk about the trade deadline, what that means. Because as we said, it's no longer fork in the road Saturday, Gordo.
Dang, retired.
You're 75 miles an hour down the dirt road with the dust kicking up in the back of the pickup. That's what it is.
With the let it be said, let it be done bumper sticker.
Let it be said, let it be done. Thank you, Joe Braverman. Excellent job. All right, well, let it be said, let it be done. We're going to take a break. Once again, we have Brian Abraham, farm director, telling us definitively at 11 o'clock if Marcelo Meyer is going to get called up today. Right?
Breaking news.
Right? You ask, you have to say something. So there you go.
We could Brian, just sit in silence.
Brian, we could, I guess. Brian Abraham at 11. We got a lot more coming up. 617-779-7937. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Be back after this.